Welcome back to our second presentation on automobile insurance coverages. We covered homeowners insurance and introduction to invest into insurance in the first presentation, and now we're going to deal with automobile insurance. And more than anything else, this is the one insurance topic where people are completely blindsided when they get in an accident for which is their fault and get hit with a $15,000 or $7,000 bill and say, wait a minute, I thought I had full coverage. Ugh. So stick with us. The financial responsibility law requires that drivers prove their ability to cover the cost of the damage or any injury caused by an automobile accident for which they were at fault. And over 45 states have compulsory automobile insurance laws, California being one of them. The minimum liability is $1,535. What do these numbers mean? Relax, we're going to get to them in just a moment, but they are woefully inadequate. You like that word, woefully? They have not changed for 70 years. You want 100, 300, 50 at the very least. At the very least, get more. 200, 500, 200, 300, 500, 200. What are these? Relax, we're going to go what the numbers mean, but just hold on for a minute. You, as a driver, when you're in an accident for which is your fault, you are responsible for what is called bodily injury liability. Now, that covers the risk of financial loss due to legal expenses, medical expenses, lost wages, and other expenses associated with injuries caused by an accident for which you were responsible. Now, there is some medical payments for the people inside your car, including yourself, but you have health insurance, so don't worry about that. As with the personal liability that we discussed in the previous presentation, the compensatory awards for bodily injury liability can be enormous. Not only could you be forced to pay medical bills, but you could be liable for a person's missed wages. Right, they can't work, you have to pay their wages. Oh! The other type of automobile liability is property damage. Now, this is much easier. It covers damage to another person's car when you're at fault. It also includes damage to things such as street signs, buildings, a mailbox, a tree, whatever. You rainstorm, you accidentally slide your vehicle into the neighbor's mailbox. Now, remember, review, recall, in the event that a bodily injury or property damage liability limit is insufficient to cover the liability incurred, the umbrella liability policy will kick in and pay above and beyond those limits. So again, think about, talk to your insurance agent, an umbrella policy, because then you will be, you know, 99.9999% in covered. Here are the numbers. Now, it's a little confusing, and we're going to go through some exercises, calculations, and we want you to do them a few times, because once you do it a few times and you understand, you go, okay, I got it. But until then, it's going, ah, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. So there are three numbers, not just two numbers. Remember, we have bodily injury liability and property damage liability. But the bodily injury liability has two different numbers, and those are the first two numbers. So for example, we said that 100, 350 is the least you should have. What do these numbers mean? The first one is 100,000. That's the limit that will be paid to any one person in an accident. If you hit somebody, no one person is going to be paid more than $100,000. The second number is the limit that will be paid to all the people in an accident. Doesn't matter how many people you hit, they are only going to pay $300,000. Now, after they've done that, after they paid $100,000 to any one person, or $300,000 to all the people, they sit on their hands and say, that's it. That's all we were contractually required to pay. And it's up to you to come up with the rest. That's why you want to lie an umbrella policy. You got it? Because $100,000 sounds like a lot of money, but a week or two in the hospital, right. The third one is pretty straightforward. That's the limit for damages to property. So $50,000, don't hit a BMW Model 7 or a Tesla Model S or a high-end Lexus because those cars are $100,000, right? Yes. And so now in the face-to-face class, we would pull out the handout. So I hope you printed it out or got it up on the screen or whatever because we're going to go through the four exercises right now. Les Dulanch was judged at fault in an accident. Now, it's a good idea to write these down. I think so. Three occupants of the vehicle he hit were awarded damages of $30,000, $10,000, and $5,000. Les has 25, 50, 10, which, by the way, is very typical. It's woefully inadequate. What amount, if any, would not be covered by his insurance and would be expected to be paid by Les? So let's see. $30,000 plus $10,000 plus $5,000 is only $45,000. So the total amount would be covered, right? Wrong. Remember, they're only going to pay $25,000 to any one person. So once they pay $25,000 to that first person of the first occupant of the vehicle he hit, that's it. They won't pay any more to that person. They're going to say, okay, you got to talk to Les. You got to get the extra $5,000 from him. You see how tricky it is? Your insurance agent told you you had full coverage. There's no such thing. No insurance company is going to take on unlimited liability. What they mean when they say full coverage is that you have liability, collision, and comprehensive insurance, which we'll discuss those in a little bit. That's what they mean by full coverage. And so people get a bill for $5,000 and think, wait a minute, I thought I was fully covered. And I talk to other insurance agents. I say, you know what? We really don't do a good job, we meaning the industry, of making sure our customers, our clients, our insured understand these limits. And they say, what are you talking about? I explain it to them. And I say, but then when they get hit with a bill, don't they come and complain to you that they thought they were fully insured? They go, yeah. And we also get teased in here on our department for teaching this class. At first, they don't do it too much anymore. But they teased us, saying, well, you're just teaching common sense. You know, everybody knows this stuff. And I said, oh, yeah? These are people who have, you know, silly letters after their name, like PhD. So, yeah, do you know what your automobile liability limits are and what are the amounts that your insurance company will pay? And they go, what are you talking about? I got full coverage. Yeah, wrong! So there you go, folks. Talk to your friends and family. In fact, that's part of your assignment, is to find your automobile liability limits. If you don't have a car, find a friend or a family member who does and make sure they understand what their limits are. And if they are woefully inadequate, they need to talk to their insurance agent. And here's the kicker. Here's the thing that drives me nuts. If you have a good driving record. Now, if you don't have a very good driving record, then you're going to be paying. But if you have a good driving record, it's not that much more money. Over the year, it's like an extra $50 or something, $100, depending on how many cars you have and the like. So you really want to make sure you have at least 200, 500, 200, or 300, 500, 200, and at least 100, 350, okay? At least, that's the very lowest you should have. But then again, don't hit a Mercedes. Okay. Number two, Mustafa wrong number. Mustafa, wrong number, was judged at fault in an accident. The two occupants of the vehicle he hit were awarded damages of $130,000 and $70,000. Mustafa had $100,000, $350,000 liability coverage. What amount, if any, would not be covered by his insurance and would be expected to be paid by Mustafa? Okay, so let's see. 100,000 and 70,000 is 200,000. So he doesn't go over the $300,000 limit, right? They're only going to pay $100,000 to any one person. So they pay $100,000 to this first occupant and then sit on their hands and say, go talk to Mustafa. So he's going to have to pay $30,000. Now, if he had an umbrella policy, right, it would kick in. Now, notice, if you get an umbrella policy, they're not going to let you have 25, 50, 10, right? They're probably going to even have want you to have more than 100, 350. They're probably going to want you to have at least 200, 500, 200, 250, 500, 250, something along those lines. And so the umbrella policy comes. They're not stupid, you know. They don't want to spend. They want the liability of your car insurance to deal with it. And then if it's a serious accident, okay, yeah, we're going to get involved. So that's the tricky part, right? You got to look at both, not only the total, but you got to look at the first one, which says that's how much they'll pay any one person. Number three. Sidney first row was judged at fault. You see what you're missing in the face-to-face class? Was judged at fault in an accident. The four pedestrians he hit were awarded $240,000, $200,000, $60,000, and $40,000. Sidney had very good coverage, $250,000, $500,000, $100,000 liability. What amount, if any, would not be covered by his insurance and would be expected to be paid by Sidney? Okay, well, let's take a look. Did he go over any one person? 240, 200, 60, 40? No. So he did not breach the first number. But let's total it up. 240 plus 200 is 440. Plus 60 is 500. Plus 40 is 540. He's going to get a bill for $40,000. Now you might ask, well, how do they know to pay whom? Right? They just pay the claims as they come in, and once the hits 500,000, they stop. So in this case, if there are several people in an accident for which you were hit, you know, you're not at fault, you were hit, it makes sense to settle quickly, but not too quickly. Be careful. You might want to talk to a lawyer in case there's a definite problems with your neck and my back, and yeah, because some things can crop up later on, and then, hey, you settled, sorry. So that's a good idea to talk with, or maybe a medical person, yeah, but probably a lawyer. Okay, so make sure you understand the difference between the first number and the second number, because that's where people get confused. The third number is property damage, and that's pretty straightforward. That's pretty straightforward. There's usually no confusion with that. C.S. Verdad, C.S. Verdad, was judged at fault in an accident. He caused $45,000 worth of damages to a person's home. Señor Verdad had $5,125,000 liability coverage. So he caused $45,000 worth of property damage. He only had $25,000 worth of property liability coverage. What amount, if any, would not be covered by his insurance and would be expected to be paid by Señor Verdad? Well, I think you understand that he's going to have to pay $20,000 because they paid the $25,000 to, you know, whatever that person's home, and then the insurance company said, that's it, you know, we're not on the hook for any more. Okay, make sure you can do these four, do them over and over and over again, and then there's problems like it on the assignment, and there's going to be problems on the exam. And once you've done them a few times, they're pretty straightforward. Slide 32. Okay. Fess up. How many of you know the limits of your automobile insurance policy? And then in the face-to-face class we raise, I know them. B, I have no idea. C, I think I knew them, what they were, but I don't remember them now. And what are your limits? What are they? If you do know your limits or you remember them, the minimum, 1535, ugh. 50, 100, 25, which is not bad, but really not very good. Somewhere around 100, 350, 100, 250. That's not bad, but still, it's not enough. So get the highest you can afford. And again, if your driving record is not bad, it's not going to be much more money. I've noticed that 25, 50, 10 is popular and would not even be enough property damage if you smashed into a parked new car at 10 miles per hour. Literally, you're in a parking lot and you just smash into a car and nobody gets hurt. But, oh my goodness, it's tens of thousands of dollars to fix that car. So, boosh, you know, 10,000, poof, you know, 50, 60 years ago, you could buy a new car for that. Now you can buy a bumper for that. Slide 34. How much coverage do you need? Again, we've already said the minimum you should have is 100, 300 for bodily injury. It's better to get 250, 500, 100 for property damage. Get 200, 250 if you can afford it. It shouldn't be that much more money. Talk to your insurance agent and then talk to them about an umbrella policy. So, let's continue with uninsured and underinsured insurance, motorist insurance. These are things that most of your insurance agents are going to recommend, and it really makes sense to have them. How many vehicles on the road are uninsured? It used to be over 20%. Now it's gone down quite a bit because California now, if your insurance lapses, the insurance company has to tell the DMV and they send you a nasty letter saying, hey, you don't have insurance. But it used to be a lot worse. I don't really actually know the number. I should really look it up. As another thing I should look up too. I told myself I was going to look that up and I didn't. I'm going to look up this one too. So very cool. Very cool. If you have uninsured motorists, if somebody hits and runs your car, then the insurance company just assumes that they didn't have insurance, which is one of the very cool thing. Thank you very much, insurance industry. If you're hit by a hit and run driver and you have uninsured motorist, then they assume that that person was uninsured. So cool. So get these. They're not much money. Again, as long as your driving record's good, they're not that much more money. Some states, not California, but some states have what's called no fault. And this was meant to get the lawyers out of the situation with culpability and who's at fault. It hasn't always lived up to its expectations. All you have to know is if you drive into a state that has no fault insurance, which means, you know, we don't deal with the problem of who was at fault. We just, your insurance company deals with your issues, their insurance company deals with their issues. If you drive into a state that has no fault, your insurance automatically becomes no fault. So you don't have to worry about, oh, what am I doing in this state? They have no fault insurance. Your insurance automatically kicks in as no fault there. So that's cool. Now, collision. As we said, there's that full coverage, which doesn't really exist, but part of the full coverage is that you have collision insurance. If your car is in an accident, it doesn't matter who was at fault. You could wrap it around a tree. Because you were driving so fast. Now, nobody's going to want to insure you if that happens again. But if that happens, they're never going to insure you again. But even if you're not at fault, the insurance company will pay. Now, if you were not at fault, I'm sorry, did I say that? If you were at fault, the insurance company will pay. If you're not at fault, the insurance company is going to go after the other person. But that's their problem. That's not your problem. They're going to fix your car or give you a new car or whatever. And that's you're covered with collision. The next one is called comprehensive. That's everything else. They used to try to refer it as non-collision, and I think some companies still trying to, but no, the term comprehensive has stuck, but you'll hear people talk about non-collision. You know, fire, theft, vandalism, glass breakage. Now, this one, when I looked it down, it said, your car rolls downhill into a tree, and I thought, that's not right. In other words, there's nobody driving it, right? the parking brake broke, or you had it in gear, or whatever. And I thought, no, that should be covered by collision. My insurance company says yes, that's collision. Even if you're not driving, the car rolled down to a tree. That's collision, not comprehensive. But fire, theft, vandalism, glass breakage, hail, sand. One of the things that insurance companies at first were very reticent to do, but then they found out, you know, it's a good idea if we do this. People's, I think it's gotten better, But people's windshields and their windshields and their headlamps get glazed over, and it's hard to see. And the insurance companies didn't want to pay for it. They said, "You know, that's a mechanical problem. That's not an issue." But now some insurers are saying, "Hey, we'll fix it because we don't want you to get into an accident." So check that out. Hailstorms, my goodness, hailstorms. We don't have that problem here, but some parts of the country, oh my goodness, like somebody took a hammer and beat up your car. So you see, the liability, collision, and comprehensive are what the industry calls full coverage. And because of that, people think that they're not liable for anything. Wrong, 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 wrong. So hopefully I have impressed upon you the need for you to understand your liability limits, and if they are woefully inadequate, talk to your insurance agent about bringing them up to snuff. What are some of the premium factors? Well, what kind of car do you have, right? Some cars, you know, oh my goodness, this car has a lot of accidents. People who buy this car drive very quickly. SUVs have gotten higher insurance rates lately because they cause a lot more damage. Where do you live? Because we live in an urban area, we pay higher rates than people who live in rural areas. Well, the insurance company says, hey, there's more accidents, there's more intersections, more parking lots, more cars. Okay. They look at your age, sex, driving record, marital status, credit history. Credit history? Ugh. Do you belong to a group? How far do you drive? How many miles a year? And so all these things are taken into account. Once you get your driver's license, the clock starts. After 3 years, providing you've been a decent driver, your premiums go down substantially. At age 25, they go down again. If you're married, but even if you're thinking, you know, I don't want to drive, get your driver's license and don't drive for 3 years. And then, you know, you'll see that your insurance would not be as high as if you just started out. And so let's ask, by the way, once you turn a certain age, this insurance starts going up. I'm not there yet. So let's take a look at slide 40. Is this legal discrimination? Because of the past driving records of young adults, the insurance companies are justified in charging the rates that they do. Do you strongly agree, disagree, or strongly disagree? Well, this is not you decide. This is meant to get the people in the face-to-face class talking about whether this is okay or not. Because the insurance companies do that. They charge far more for teenagers and young drivers. And then I ask them, okay, well, what percentage of 16 to 19-year-olds are expected to have at least one accident within the first 3 years of driving? Is it 25, 50, 75, 100%? Some people say 50, 25. It's 100%. The insurance companies know that new drivers are more likely or very likely to get in an accident within 3 years. And some people do more. Now, is it because they're just youthful? It's some of that. No, it's because they're new drivers. And they tend to get into situations where they panic, and they're not sure what to do, and they do something very, very silly that a seasoned driver just would not do. I see people, you know, they turn their head and they turn the wheel at the same time to look where they're going. Like, no. You know, a seasoned driver just doesn't do that. So yes, there's some testosterone involved. And by the way, women's drivers are better than men drivers. I don't care what the Mexican saying is, what is it? I'll translate it. Woman behind the wheel, danger ahead, or something like that. It's not true. Women are better drivers. Okay, how do you reduce your automobile insurance premiums? Well, before you buy that hot sports car, make sure you find how much it's going to cost you to insure it. Again, as we said with homeowners insurance, the the prices are all over the map. You call one day and the next day it's going to be different. So shop around. Larger deductible for your home, for your automobile will be less. And believe it or not, non-smokers, professional groups, keep your good driving record, security devices. And if you have more than one car, you'll get a discount by insuring them together. Cool? Okay, now we're on the home stretch here, folks. There's a company called LexisNexis, and you've probably, maybe you've heard of them, especially if you've ever worked in a library. They keep track of personal property and automobile claims that you make. They're called CLUE reports, and most people have no idea what it stands for. Comprehensive Loss Underwriting Exchange. Remember the credit reports that we talked about in Chapter 5? Same idea. They're used by insurance companies to rate your risk. Now, you are able to get one free report for both the personal property and the automobile every year, just like the credit reports. So check out their website, and no jokes about getting a clue, please. No, it's a sickness. I can't help it. My apologies. So what's the bottom line on home and car insurance? Get sufficient coverage. Make sure you... have I said that? I think I have. Okay. And then Bohica. What? Bohica. You see, this whole generation is dying off. The greatest generation, or sometimes called the traditionalists, the matures. And they had their own LOLs and OMGs. One of them was Snafu. And you might have heard that. You don't hear it too often anymore. But Bohica was one of their favorites. This is from World War II, folks. This is, you know, 80 years ago. Keep your back to the wall when you deal with the insurance companies, because bend over, here it comes again. Bohica. I love that. I know. Most people don't know what you're talking about when I say it. I say, be careful, Bohica. And they say, what? But that's from World War II, believe it or not. And so, LOL, right. There we go. We're done with home and car insurance, automobile insurance. And this is, you know, relatively straightforward, very important. Our next chapter. You know, there has to be at least one chapter that is your least favorite chapter. And that's the next one when we discuss health insurance and disability insurance. See you in chapter 9, dear students. And again, we thank you, thank you, thank you for being in our class. Think about how much you've learned. You are rising financial gurus. Your friends and family and coworkers, they're going to depend upon you. Study hard, bring honor and glory to Southwestern College and to you when you show them how smart you are.